This week in Retronauts Micro, dost thou desire the power? Into every fandom, a little perspective must fall. Xenogears offered me mine. In the mid-90s, I developed a real interest in console role-playing games. I dabbled in the genre during the NES days, but I always saw myself as an action gamer. The idea of investing myself into slower, more story-oriented games struck me as inexplicably alien. No matter how many times I played Final Fantasy or Dragon Warrior, they always seemed like games I could never claim for myself. Maybe it's Zelda's fault. With its bold commercial hype, a never-ending adventure new for your NES, on brassy gold cartridge, Zelda elevated itself to a new, rarefied plateau. It was too grand for me to make my own. Anything more involved than Mega Man seemed insurmountably huge. That didn't stop me from completing practically every RPG-style game to come down the NES pipeline through rentals and borrowing. It was simply a mental lock on ownership. It doesn't have to make sense. Hang-ups rarely do, and being uncomfortable buying Epic video games is impossibly insignificant as far as weird fixations go. It was Secret of Mana that broke through my reluctance. Nearly every worthwhile RPG to hit the Super NES after that ended up in my collection. When I jumped over to PlayStation, I kept the tradition alive on that platform, too. Sure, I missed one here or there, Breath of Fire 2 evaded me, and I skipped over Revelations Persona, which is probably just as well as I doubt I'd fully have appreciated it at the time. By the time Xenogears arrived, 5 years after Mana, I was drifting away from action games and toward full-time RPG fandom. I was up to my ears in menus and character skill systems. Needless to say, I was primed for Xenogears. It had been hyped as a return to Square's good old days, which back then meant 2 or 3 years ago before Final Fantasy VII made things different from how they used to be. It was an RPG with mature themes and giant robots all at once. It was so sophisticated and controversial that we had to launch a petition to call for its American release. How could this game be anything less than perfect? I picked it up on launch day alongside Metal Gear Solid, and after taking down Liquid Steak over the weekend, immediately leapt into Xenogears. Oh man, it was gonna be so awesome. I just knew I was gonna love it. I was stoked. And I hated it. That wasn't what I expected, especially since everyone else I knew seemed to adore it. What went wrong? What happened? Well, let's talk about Neon Genesis Evangelion for a moment. That breakthrough anime series that aired in Japan in the mid-90s. Despite running only a single season, its effect on Japanese pop culture was profound. In any case, it was a big deal, especially among the sort of people who created anime and wrote RPG scenarios. You wouldn't think angst-ridden cartoons about god-powered robots fighting angels as their pilots dealt with daddy issues and social ostracism would be a gold ticket to the success train, but given the number of anime and games that sprang up in the latter half of the 90s, whose elevator pitch consisted of, like Evangelion, but you'd be wrong. Of all the Evangelion-like works to appear between 1996 and 2000, none were more Evangelion-y than Xenogears. An angst-ridden game itself, featuring occasional cartoons, about god-powered robots fighting god knows what with their pilots dealing with daddy issues and social ostracism, yeah. By and large, Xenogears actually reminded me of the sort of bold, sloppy derivative work I always tried creating as a kid. I'd see something I like and think, I can do that too, but better. In hindsight, I was incredibly unfair to Xenogears. It's not a great game, nor is it particularly original. It's a work in desperate need of editing, a sprawling mess that would have vastly more impact without all the distracting filler nonsense. Its play mechanics, though bold, only sometimes work, and rarely ever work together. Xenogears is less a product of its times than a victim of them. Its failings demonstrate all the earmarks of, well, the 90s. It suffers perhaps most of all from the conviction that each and every game has to be more extraordinary than the last, a problem most developers suffered from at the times, and none more so than Square. Final Fantasy VII had been madly ambitious and unbelievably successful, and it fostered within Square's creative culture the misguided belief that no one would care about their games unless their scope and length and complexity left everything that had come before in the dust. Xenogears was perhaps the apex, or the nadir if you prefer, of that insane creative brinkmanship. Fortunately, it demonstrated the folly of the one-upmanship approach to game design, collapsing under its own preposterous ambition and bloat. Xenogears is hit or miss as a video game. As a cautionary tale, however, it's stellar. Disc 2 of the game alone could be the subject of an entire semester's lecture on how not to make video games, and the importance of keeping scope and cost under control. Now, Xenogears Disc 2 is quite infamous at this point and doesn't need further punching bag treatment, so let's dissect it in a gentlemanly fashion instead. The second disc of the game is considerably shorter than the first, roughly 10 to 15 hours to its predecessor's 45 to 50. Unlike its Squaresoft stablemates in the Final Fantasy series, however, the disparity in disc length isn't the result of an overabundance of late-game full-motion videos, and the second disc doesn't consist simply of the final dungeon and in-boss gauntlet. In terms of plot, both discs of Xenogears contain roughly the same amount of text and the same number of epic tentpole events. You fight almost as many bosses in Disc 2 as on Disc 1. The problem with Disc 2 is that nothing exists between the boss fights and dialogue. With the exception of a sparse handful of dungeons, the player enjoys few opportunities to get out and stretch his legs, as it were. The generally accepted narrative surrounding Xenogears' lopsided distribution of content is that the budget ran dry somewhere around the time the team made it to the point that protagonist Feifeng Wang acquires his eponymous mech suit, Xenogears. Rather than cutting the story into two and shipping what they had, thus risking the possibility that the first game would flop and they never had the opportunity to finish the tale in the form of a sequel, the creators decided to shoehorn the plot onto the second disc, throw in the key boss encounters they'd already worked up, and wrap things up with a full final dungeon. Certainly a pragmatic compromise, but it's a terrible one. Rarely has a game fallen apart as miserably as Xenogears does in its second half. If the first disc of the game is overly drawn out and feels frequently padded, the portion following intermission is just the opposite. Major events are jumbled together, characters and plot lines alike receive resolution that is quickly glossed over. A significant fraction of this part of Xenogears consists of nothing more than Faye, or his eternal love interest Ellie, sitting beneath a spotlight as a crucifix swings in the background like a giant Jesus-killing pendulum. The two characters spout paragraph after paragraph of dialogue, advancing one agonizing text letter at a time, mulling their existences with endless introspection. It's a little like being a psychiatrist, except you're the one who had to pay for the session. Surrounding these drawn-out musings are a number of real-world story events that would probably be pretty impressive with the proper context. You fight recurring foes, Ellie becomes the villainess's host body, Royal Pain Bart Figaro transforms an entire city into a robot, and a rare instance of Xenogear swiping from an anime besides Evangelion, and most of the human race is transformed into snacks for God. Each and every one of these plot points deserves an hour or two of build-up and exploration, but Xenogears doesn't provide them. They transpire in rapid-fire succession, with few opportunities to step back from the non-action and play. The few chances you're actually granted to take the reins and do the standard RPG thing tend to be deeply frustrating, as they're often little more than isolated boss battles. Divorced of any opportunity to explore, equip, and empower your party, these sequences become stumbling blocks for many gamers, sometimes severe enough to bring the game to a screeching and very final stop. In particular, the ultimate fight with recurring boss team The Elements, and the showdown with ever-living seductress Myung, live in infamy for the way they appear from seemingly nowhere in the middle of reams of hands-off exposition and demand the player perform at the peak of their abilities with skills they've had little opportunity to put to use for the past several hours of playtime. Xenogears offers one of the most poorly paced game experiences of all time, its 60-plus hours of boredom. The first disc is dull because the meat of the story is spread thin across countless superfluous side plots and boringly designed dungeons with no real purpose. The party accumulates new characters like a dust mop running across a particularly filthy floor, but many of them are complete wastes of space. Blanca clone Rico has no direct pairing on the plot, churchy boy prostitute Billy primarily serves as a window into the corruption of the Ethos Church, but could have accomplished the same feat as an NPC, the combat inappropriate little girl with the psychic link to her father's robot only serves to diminish the uniqueness of Faye's gear-piloting prowess, and the less said about Choo Choo, the better. As the plot drags itself slowly across dozens of hours of irrelevant filler, you wonder if it will ever live up to the promise of those opening moments. Then suddenly, the story takes a turn for the interesting. You switch discs and have the opposite problem. You're hit with nothing but dialogue, with little respite from mutely pressing X to advance text boxes. It's pretty clear that Xenogears is a game that would have benefited from either more time, considerable pruning, or some sort of early creative oversight to rein in its indulgences and ambitions back to a reasonable. Unfortunately, Xenogears is very decidedly a product of the late 90s. It's the very epitome of that time. The seemingly boundless power and storage space of the PlayStation generated a sensation that video games could do anything. A generation of designers eagerly poured their hearts into their projects, determined to create epic masterworks that had previously been impossible due to the shackles of less capable consoles. They were testing the boundaries and exploring the limits. Games like Xenogears are disasters, but they're valuable ones. More importantly, they're earnest ones. It's through well-intended train wrecks like this that developers begin to acquire a better sense of how to allocate creative resources. Xenogears brims with ideas and inspiration. Its content spills beyond the limitations of its budget, its storage space, and its creators' capabilities. It suffers from the worst excesses of the era, the chatty cinematic aspirations of the like of Metal Gear, and the anime-inspired pretenses of Final Fantasy VII. It's a self-indulgent mess to be sure, but hardly an unforgivable one. Better to aim for the moon and fail than trudge forward in confident complacence. At no point does Xenogears live up to its creator's aspirations. On the contrary, the game almost seems like a self-parody. Fei isn't just a reluctant soldier forced into heroism, nor is he simply a chosen one. His psychological issues make him the deadliest villain in the game, courtesy of a split persona that moonlights as a villain when the rest of the party isn't watching, and he's literally the single most important person in the world. His swooning for a woman he meets in a chance encounter isn't just a destined romance, it's actually an immortal love that transcends generations and incarnations. The story's motivating force is a superweapon turned callous god that creates humanity to serve as fuel for its journey back to the stars. At every turn, the game feels like it's driven by a determination to be the biggest, the best, the most impressive RPG ever. It has more party members, more plot twists, more confusing revelations about the hero, more backstabs, more convoluted skill systems, more forced mysterious dialogue, more bosses, more, more, more! Xenogears is never content to be normal or modest. The irony of it all is that Xenogears really could be an extraordinary game by focusing less on epic scope and more on polishing its core elements to greatness. Cutting the party by half, spreading the existing dungeons across both discs, losing ultimately irrelevant plot points, these decisions could have allowed the game to come in under budget and result in a size manageable enough to allow for some additional polish. The combat could have been balanced better, the dialogue refined, the overt anime pilfering made less obvious. The game would have lost nothing of value in the process, nor would it have become less memorable. On the contrary, Xenogears is built around fascinating conceptual kernels, a world secretly under the influence of an entity that has created life strictly as food so that it can travel to other worlds and fulfill its sole purpose of destruction, and whose plans can only be thwarted by the eternal soul of a child who made contact with a sentient extra-dimensional power source. That's some high-level sci-fi stuff right there, and it could have made for a truly powerful tale. But that tale isn't Xenogears. Its finest traits, and it has many, are horribly outnumbered by its overindulgences, and its creator's inability to know when to say enough. And the sad irony is that its creators were given a second chance in the form of Xenosaga. Rather than take that opportunity to pare the game down to its essence, they chose instead to add even more bloat and more superfluity. It's a shame, because inside Xenogears, there's a slim, revolutionary game struggling to fight through 36 hours of needless crap. An RPG classic bogged down by all the excess that surrounds it. For Retronauts, I'm Jeremy Parrish. As always, you can find more Retronauts on usgamer.net or at retronauts.com. Subscribe to us on iTunes, follow us on Twitter, on Twitch, on YouTube, on any kind of social media you can think of, really. We're all over the place. And of course, we're supported by Patreon, so if you enjoyed this episode for some reason, please feel free to chip in and send us $1 a month or something so that we can make more episodes and regale the world with more Shaggy Dog tales about video game nostalgia. Thanks for listening.